It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman with you till 11 o'clock tonight. In the 10 o'clock hour, we'll have reaction analysis from Philadelphia and the Democratic National Convention Day 2. Coming up at 9 o'clock, we'll do a special hour of the worst, complaining about the worst things in our society for prizes. Tom Jones tickets. Coming up at 8 o'clock, Ramsey Lewis is my guest at the big table. Chicago Jazz legend. So much to do tonight, but it starts right now with Mike Birbiglia. Mike Birbiglia is the filmmaker, the writer, the actor, the director of the new movie Don't Think Twice. Mike Birbiglia is a great stand-up comedian, and he has done two movies now, Sleepwalk With Me in 2012 and now Don't Think Twice, which opens this week. It's getting great reviews. He really takes on this idea of an improv group in New York City, and they're aging out. And what happens to them? It's fictional. It stars Keegan-Michael Key and Gillian Jacobs and others. Tammy Sager's in it from Chicago. But it really talks about, or not talks about, it's a movie about what it takes to make it and what happens when you don't. Mike Birbiglia just came through town last week. He did one of the press junkets where he's pretty much doing it for TV. And they set up shop at IO Chicago up on Kingsbury, Sharna's place. And I was able to sneak in and talk to him, which is great, and able to talk to him about the movie, about his life, about stand-up, and about the tone and the things that he's talking about in this movie. We started the conversation. I asked Mike about Chicago improv because it plays a big role in the movie. There's a lot of talk about Chicago improv and legend and his experiences with Chicago improv.
When I was a freshman in college, I was cast in the improv group at Georgetown University, and I became completely immersed in it. And actually that year, Sharna Halpern and this group called Frank Booth from IO came and did workshops with us and performed with us, and it really imprinted on my brain. Like, it was like that moment in your life where you're so impressionable, and like I was just like, this is my life. And Sharna signed my book and said, I look forward to working with you in Chicago, you know. And it's like, and then when it came time to when I graduated and I was gonna go to Chicago or New York, and my sister had just moved from Chicago to New York, and so I slept on her couch. I feel like if she hadn't moved, I would have slept on her couch here.
Being in stand-up and comedy, what did you know about the Chicago improv scene? Because it does play a role. I mean, it's referenced a lot of Del Close stuff in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
What did you know about the Chicago improv scene doing comedy in New York?
Well, I'm obsessed with the culture of it. So, like, I've read all the books, and Liz Allen's Jimmy Corain's book, Improvising Better, is one of my favorites. The Something Wonderful Right Away is one of my favorites. It's in the movie. Sharna Halpern's Truth in Comedy, and Sharna and Dell's Truth in Comedy. TJ Dave's book, I think, is phenomenal. I do improv at UCB in New York, and I have off and on for the last, you know, 16 years. So it's almost like this, we're reluctant to call it a hobby, but it's like something I love to do. But it's not something I make my living at doing.
A lot of the movie, you know, surrounds this ensemble, and there really is a lot about the cult of ensemble.
Sure.
You know, and obviously with the whole plot of the movie surrounds how tight and the relationships of the people that are in the ensemble.
Yeah.
It's different than other genres, other disciplines. When you talk about bands or you talk about painters or whatever, there's something special about an improv ensemble.
I think so, yeah. And part of the impetus of the making the film was that my wife made this observation when she came to one of my improv shows one night in New York, where I think on stage that night it was Chris Gethard and Tammy Sager who were in the film, and then I think it was like A.D. Bryant and Ellie Kemper and a bunch of other people. And my wife said, it's so interesting that everyone's sort of equally talented, but that person's a movie star, that person's on SNL, and that person lives on an air mattress in Queens. And I just thought, not only is that a great observation, but it's a movie. I just pictured the sort of Big Chill comedy set in the world of an improv theater. And that's sort of where the seed of it came from. And what's interesting, you say the thing about the nature of group work and the cult of it and everything. It's like, I wrote down this phrase around that time. I put it on my wall. I wrote, art is socialism, but life is capitalism. And I just thought, that's a funny thing to write about, because I think it's almost like this musical chairs is you're watching in the movie. It's like a live action musical chairs.
It's so interesting because doing a movie about improv comedy or doing an improv ensemble, it's really about the characters more than about improv. And improv plays a big role.
Sure.
Did you have to, as a director and as a writer, did you have to resist the urge to kind of go for the joke? I mean, almost like if you think about the aesthetic of improv is the same concept.
It's a long form.
Yeah, it's a long form where not everything, it's based in comedy, has to be funny.
Something that has a long form structure and narrative and isn't just joke, and everything has sort of a payoff. A lot of that's in the edit, to be honest with you.
Really?
In the scenes, you know, we always try to act the truth of the scene and we play the reality of it. And therein lies sadness and also comedy. That's where you have that. And then there's a second calibration that takes place in the edit, where you'd have edits of scenes where, like the Ben Stiller scene, for example, we had versions of that were 4 or 5 minutes long, all jokes, hilarious. And it was like, people would laugh so hard, but then it was like, well, it's not quite realistic, so it almost felt like another movie. And so we had to sort of pull that back.
That's a great way to put it, because it does, I mean, there is realism in this movie that, you know, as anyone who knows improv and knows or has been involved in the improv community, it's spot on when you talk about the relationship with the other people in the ensemble, the jealousy and the envy that's posed when people have success, and then the introspection about when it's time to, I guess you don't hang up.
Yeah, let go.
Let go. Or,
let go of certain ideas.
Yeah, those things are really tossed around in your movie, and that's what kind of makes it, in my opinion, a successful story.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, I really wanted to. I thought no one's making a movie about how life isn't fair. And I feel like we're constantly inundated with this American dream concept that, like, everyone's going to make it and you can too, or whatever. I forget what the Stephen Colbert book title is. It's like, I Love America and You Can,
and
too.
You Can Too.
Yeah, whatever the thing is. But it's... But I do feel like there's this thing where we sometimes overlook in America, which is like, we don't all have to get the same thing. You know, it's like, I feel like me and my friends in our 20s, we all kind of wanted to get the same dream, write for the same 3 shows or whatever that were impossible to get jobs at. And at a certain point you realize, well, that's not going to happen. We can't all get the same thing. And then the person who does get it maybe isn't so happy after all. And I thought, how come there's not a movie about that? And the reason is that there's not a lot of money in it.
it doesn't fulfill
the fantasy that Hollywood movies try to fulfill. And that's where independent film comes in. That's where, you know, people listening to this, you know, should know that if you want movies that are nuanced and have shades of gray in them, see this movie at the Music Box, because it's like that's how we'll be able to make more of them.
It really does center around, I mean, the concepts that are kind of true to life. When you talk about failures and successes, there's a great line, and I paraphrase it. You know, without improv, I'm just a loser. You know?
But there's
something about that when it comes to artists and people who have particularly done something in their 20s that they felt was, you know, this is what I am, this is who I am, whether it be a musician, an actor, an improviser, and they get to a certain point and they're like, I don't know how to live without this art.
Yeah, I mean, that's Chris Gethard's character, Bill, who's, you know, in the day he's handing out hummus samples at the grocery store, and at night he's a superstar of improv, you know, and audiences are cheering for him. And yeah, I mean, I struggle. I don't think about this too often, but now that you're mentioning it, I struggle with that myself. My day-to-day life is very different from my life on stage. I was at the Music Box for a sneak preview, and it's like people cheering and going crazy. You know? And then, you know, the cut to, I'm back in my hotel room and having insomnia till 3:30, and I wake up to talk about the movie. You know, there's a lot of, the majority of my life is unglamorous.
Yeah, I think that you think about improvisers, they get up on stage on a Friday and Saturday night and they kill in front of all these audiences and they have these experiences. where people just assume, and it's the same for cast members on TV shows. I mean, you kind of explore that with the kind of SNL kind of thing in the movie. But this concept that everybody, it's almost like social media, everybody just puts their, they have this idea of everything about them is perfect or glorious or because of their art, but at the end of the day, they go home and sleep on the same pillow.
I hope that that trend reverses, you know, the trend of sort of broadcasting ourselves in the grandest, most flowery, fake way, which just makes everybody feel bad. I hope that trend reverses, and that, because it's unfortunate. It's just, you know, and I do too. I mean, I look at people's profiles
and you just like, think, oh, they're happy.
Oh yeah, things are going great over there.
Yeah, right.
And I'm in my hotel room at 3:30 a.m. and my body doesn't know how to sleep.
The great thing about the movie, I mean, is you explore these connections and relationships to these friends that have been doing improv in an ensemble for years. They live together in the same place. Yeah. They do. And at the end of the movie, I mean, and really it's about having to confront feelings of not only growing up, but growing old, moving on, those kind of things. That's really, it could be anything. It doesn't have to be improv.
Of course, yeah.
But it, there really is. I mean, towards the end of the movie, you really get this, like, sense about the loneliness of a lot of the characters. And at the end, there's a scene that where they all kind of go up to the upstate New York, and they have this moment where they don't want to leave each other.
Yeah.
And there really is this idea of loneliness, but this improv ensemble and this group that they've been with forever, it's their family.
Yeah.
And there's something about family in this as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think when I see the scene that you're referencing, it I get choked up. I can't watch the movie anymore because I start crying, and I'm fine with crying, but I just can't cry every day. I feel like I'm good with once a week. But when it's every day, people just start going, Mike, what's going on with you? And, that scene reminds me of what it was like to say goodbye, you know, to my college friends or my high school friends or my family or, you know, my coworkers on a certain job or whatever it is. It's like there's so many things in life that mirror principles of improv. This idea of, like, you know, this idea of improv is like it happens in a moment and it disappears. It's only meant as an act of love, you know, is one of the quotes in the movie about improv. And I think that's true of most friendships. And it's like a friendship with a group of people is going to, in a certain way, living in a certain place is going to last 4 or 5 years, maybe 10 years, but is it going to last your whole life? Probably not. And I think that that's what's relatable about the film. I think that's why people connect to it, because it's just about how everything changes. I mean, that's what the difference between Jack and Sam in the movie is. Jack wants things to change. He wants to move to the next lily pad, and Sam says, you know, why can't we stay on this lily pad?
I like it here.
Yeah.
You know, for you, I mean, obviously this is your second film. You're having a lot of success with the movies, great reviews. People are enjoying the movie that's coming out. It's going to be at the Music Box on the 29th. You know, is this a direction for your career? I mean, is it going to be Mike Birbiglia, a filmmaker? I mean, are you going to put some of the other stuff in and keep creating films like this?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I think the key thing that I've taken out of the last 8 years of my life is that I think I just want to create things in isolation. I want to create movies and one-person shows and stand-up, and I don't want to audition for Hollywood. Because I don't want to bow to the gatekeepers of a system that I don't quite believe in. And that's not to say that there's not great studio films. I mean, you know, you see the Lego movie, and it's really innovative, and there's Guardians of the Galaxy is great. But then you see so many more movies, I feel like, that are kind of insulting to our intelligence.
Yeah.
And it just bums me out, and I just don't know if I can play that game.
Mike Birbiglia is the writer, director, and star of Don't Think Twice, which will be at the Music Box Theater on July 29th. Yeah. We're here at the IO Theater.
With Ira Glass.
With Ira Glass, that's
right. That weekend, Ira Glass is doing like 4 or 5 Q&As.
That's great. Well, I was going to come on too. So, Mike, thanks so much, man.
Thank you.
And congrats
really
on the movie.
It. Thank you.